Well, now to the rift between the U.S. and Israel over Gaza, which may be politically advantageous to both Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Biden ahead of elections, but disastrous to civilians in Gaza. Backing up yesterday, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told Israel's defense minister it was a moral necessity to protect Gazan civilians, the U.S. calling on Israel to abandon plans to invade Rafah. And on Monday, the U.S. abstained from that U.N. resolution calling for a ceasefire, allowing it to pass, after which Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu abruptly canceled his senior aide's visit to the White House. Frank Lowenstein was a U.S. Special Envoy for Middle East Peace in the Obama administration. And Frank, this rift could be politically advantageous because both men are feeling pressure, Netanyahu from ultra-right members of his coalition, Biden from Democratic voters who want a ceasefire. We get that U.S. part. Tell us more about what's going on in Israel.
The political situation in Israel is very difficult for most Americans to understand. We think that given the fact that Biden has been so supportive of Israel, flew right over to Tel Aviv the day after, or a couple days after the terrorist attack, I think we thought that that meant that the Israeli public would want the Israeli government to heed our advice because we were such a good friend. It's actually not the case at all. The Israeli public is in a mindset here. They're deeply traumatized. They're incredibly angry. And they're really not seeing anything outside of the desire to get back at Hamas and to make sure that this sort of thing never happens again. So when we go to Israel, and Secretary Blinken has done this on a few different occasions, talking about what happens after Gaza, talking about a two-state solution, a pathway to a state for the Palestinians, that sort of thing is just very much out of line with where the Israeli public is. And Netanyahu himself has a coalition that is dependent for its survival upon two of the most extreme right-wing parties in Israel. And they are, in effect, threatening to pull out of the coalition and therefore cause new elections, which would result almost inevitably in Netanyahu losing and then probably going to jail. So he is really being controlled quite closely by two very extreme right-wing Israeli politicians. And that is what Senator Schumer was so frustrated about when he gave his speech on the Senate floor a week and a half ago, that the notion that our policy should be dictated by an extreme right-wing minority in Israel and driving the U.S. into a situation that we really don't want to be in, that we're not going to accept that anymore.
Well, we might have seen that pressure from these two right-wing politicians. They are Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich. We might have seen that play out this week because they're not just pushing for continued war on Gaza, but they're also pushing for continued support of settlements in the West Bank. And we saw some of that play out this week.
Yes, absolutely. It's an excellent point. I think the tipping point for the United States, for Secretary Blinken, for President Biden, in actually advancing a Security Council resolution on Monday over the objections of the Israelis was Secretary Blinken's visit on Friday, when Prime Minister Netanyahu did two things that we had not expected and that were really, from the United States perspective, gratuitous slaps in the face. And the first was for him to go out after our meeting and say, Israel's going to invade Rafah no matter what. That's very much counter to the message we're trying to send along. And then the second part, of course, was the settlement announcement. And they seized more land in the West Bank than they have in over 30 years. And the fact that they did that while Blinken was on the ground. And then it was Ben-Gvir went out and bragged about it. Nobody will stop Israel from building in the grand land of Judea and Samaria. It was just defiant. It was publicly humiliating the United States. And I think that pushed us over the line to being willing to support a resolution that the Israelis deeply objected to.
Well, but then, you know, it would seem as if there is a real rift here. But some are saying that it's, you'll forgive the word, trumped up, so that Netanyahu can take the spotlight off of these ultra-right conservatives. Do you have thoughts on that, that this might be something that's being more blown up by Netanyahu to take the spotlight over him and, frankly, his failures and shift it over to the U.S.?
Yes, absolutely. Netanyahu is clearly chosen to play to his domestic political audience at the expense of his relationship with President Biden, at the expense of President Biden's politics. What he did in pulling down the visit of Ron Dermer and Sahi Yanegbi, who were supposed to come to Washington yesterday, was really unnecessary under the circumstances. Honestly, our position really hadn't changed that much between the resolution that we introduced on Friday and the one that we abstained on Monday. Netanyahu chose intentionally to blow this up because that works for his politics. And that approach has obviously not sat well with the Biden folks at all.
Yeah. How big a deal is this that there's a rift? How big might it get? What, you know, your sense about it?
Well, I think it's potentially a very significant rift or an insignificant rift, depending on what Israel does going forward. So Gallant, the Israeli defense minister, has been in Washington for the last couple of days asking for a whole bunch of weapons from the United States. So I think what we're probably telling him privately is we will give you this weapons. We don't want to attach conditions to them. But if you continue to ignore us at every turn, if you continue to plan a Rafah invasion that we don't think does anywhere near enough to civilians, then we going to consider conditioning weapon sales. That would be a real big rift in the U.S.-Israel relationship. For now, I think we're hoping to use the threat of that to get the Israelis in line with our policy approach without having to actually exercise it.
Frank Lowenstein, who served as a U.S. Special Envoy for Middle East Peace in the Obama administration. Thank you so much, Frank, for weighing in today.
Thanks for having me.